Hello, Patriots. This is Living with Liberty, your source for common sense and truth. Bringing you insight from outside the mainstream, I am your host, Ryan. Today, Adrienne joins me to share her story and discuss groupthink and hypocrisy in the conservative movement. Next, on Living with Liberty. I've got a special episode today. Joining me again is Adrienne. You might remember her. We had a discussion about the Republican Party and the state of it. I don't know if that episode was in the 80s. It was a while ago. But I brought her back because I think it's important she tell her story. Now, a couple episodes ago, I went over how we had a local conservative outlet that just basically attacked her. And as I mentioned on that show, there was at least, I would say, two, maybe three folks that knew Adrienne's story on that show, and yet they attacked her anyway, and it was really a hypocritical thing. So I want Adrienne here because I said in that show, I would give you the overarching story, but I wasn't going to tell her story, right? I gave you enough to understand why it was a problem, what the big deal was, but now I want Adrienne to tell her story, and she graciously accepted my offer to come on the show and tell her story, and then, you know, we're going to talk about some other stuff here. So welcome back, Adrienne.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
So Wisconsin right now basically went unhinged on you. They, and we'll rehash it again, I guess, a little bit for the listeners here, but
certainly
they basically said that in a conservative movement, we need to stop attacking each other, stop the name calling. They made some good points. You know, I said in my show, I said a lot of what they said I agreed with, but then it went off the rails, went unhinged. They started basically just attacking you and doing the exact thing they said they were against, right?
Right.
So what I want you to do is because I did say you were a sexual assault survivor twice.
Yep.
I want you to give the audience, like, your story, your side, what exactly happened to you, how it's impacted you, how it's really impacted how you look at life. Because we've had conversations before, and you are someone that is very, very in tune to justice. You like to see justice done.
Yes.
Right? And I know you've mentioned to me before, and it goes back to your past, right? And how that's impacted your view on life and how you go about politics and engaging with our politicians, engaging with the media types. So,
right.
Floor is yours to tell your story.
Okay. Well, not to give, you know, too much information or bore people to death. I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse by my maternal grandfather. That went on for a period of several years. And at some point when I was still a teenager, he was prosecuted and went to jail. He was sentenced to 1 year in jail. He was allowed work release and got out in 8 months for good behavior. Now, I know that there are other family members in my extended family who were also abused by him, but that's their story, not mine to tell. And so That was rough enough, and then to try and recover from that, if you will. But then in 2009, a situation arose where I ended up being in the same space as my maternal grandfather again. I was holding our daughter, who was 6 months old at the time, and he was able to corner me and sexually assault me again. I was more worried about keeping our daughter away from him than about myself. And so once I got out of that situation, we immediately reported it to the police and to his probation officer. there was a lot of information that I found out at that time that I hadn't known before. Like when he was prosecuted earlier, like when I was a teenager, it wasn't for molesting me. There hadn't ever been charges filed against him, which I never knew. I was just always baffled that he only got a year. Anyway, so fast forward to, you know, 2009 again with that happening. And because I reported it to the police and went to his probation officer, I was blamed by extended family for getting the police involved, getting the state involved. Didn't I know that it was going to ruin his life, that he would likely end up, you know, dying in prison? And I'm thinking, oh, okay. I mean,
especially after the first time around when he only got a year and you're like, oh, okay, right?
And because of the statute of limitations, right, there were other victims that couldn't prosecute from much earlier than myself. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to have my kids around this person. I'm not going to chance another run-in where I can be, you know, cornered. So I felt that the most important thing at that time was justice and doing the right thing. And so in the end, his probation was revoked. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison, which was the entirety of his probation that he had originally gotten. He did end up dying in prison, and it basically destroyed my relationship with three of my extended family members. My dad and my siblings, my husband, they were all like incredibly supportive.
Right.
So that was good. But I think the trauma of that violation coupled with being blamed for basically ruining his life, it sent me to a really bad place. I was afraid to leave the house. We didn't leave, like my husband and I with the kids, we didn't leave Burlington for over 2 years. I was afraid all the time. It was like a 24/7 panic attack. I mean, I think I had gotten to the point as an adult where I felt like I could protect my kids, even if I couldn't protect myself. And that situation that happened while I was holding our daughter completely pulled that rug out from under my feet. And I no longer felt like I could protect myself or my children.
Right. And I mean, that led to you and your family needing some assistance because you couldn't leave the house. You had basically what amounts to PTSD. Right, you had panic attacks all the time.
Constantly.
I think, you know, your husband in that time, you know, lost his job or took time off to help you out. You know, I don't quite remember all the details around that. I just know that, you know, Aaron had, you know, some time off in there too where you needed some help. And everybody does sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, when it came down to either letting my pride get in the way of making sure that my kids were fed and taken care of so that I could focus on healing and being proactive in getting help for myself. I mean, it's certainly not something that I'm proud of, but I'm also not gonna like try and hide the fact that we got assistance for a period of time.
Well, and it's I think if you ask me, it's there for these types of situations, right, where people just need a little help, right, because of some sort of trauma for, you know, what you've gone
life
through.
Life happens,
to,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, two sexual assaults, family basically blaming you for it, you know, not just being paralyzed, you know, in terms of just being out there socially, right? And I just, you know, I imagine you didn't even want to go to the grocery store. You didn't want to do anything except I'm in my house, I'm safe, I'm protecting my kids, that's where I need to be.
Yep, that's exactly how it was.
And like I said, that, you know, two, maybe three of the panelists on WRN knew your story, right? Because you had at least, you know, had a sit down with Robin Voss, our state assembly
leader. I did in 2020.
Leader.
Yep.
I'm sure, you know, that got filtered to Michelle somehow. But you told them your story. You said, and this was all the whole mask debate in this state, where you told them your story that you have to do something about this because for survivors like me, it brings back all that old trauma. It causes me to go back and have panic attacks again.
Yep.
And what do you say when you told him that, when you laid out kind of your story to him?
Yeah. So, I mean, initially I was actually impressed that he had gotten back to me rather quickly because I had emailed him and he asked to meet with my husband and I personally. And so, I mean, he gave me a few minutes to talk about, you know, my experience and kind of what I was advocating for, which was just a hope that as Republican leadership and my assembly member, that he would possibly make some kind of a statement, Facebook post, press release, reiterating what Governor Evers' emergency order already said, the executive order, which was that there are exceptions or exemptions for people to not wear a mask. And mm-hmm. if you see somebody not wearing a mask, then just don't harass them about it. And I wanted that to be reiterated by our Republican leadership.
And it's fair, right? They're supposed to be for freedom and liberty.
Exactly. And I wasn't speaking just for myself. I mean, I let him know in the email and again in our conversation that I understood that not all survivors were going to react in the same way to masks. But considering that in Wisconsin, we have 1.2 million victims or survivors of sexual violence, that's a pretty large number of people. Mm-hmm. And the potential to have other people that are having the same reactions to the masks, I think it's pretty good.
And that's roughly, what, 20% of our state population? So,
yep, that sounds great. Right.
We go national and international here. I mean, take the, you know, population of your state and or your country, take 20%. That's the likely percentage of folks out there that have experienced sexual assault and are sexual assault victims.
Yep.
I mean, so it's not an insignificant amount of people. It's a lot of people.
It's a lot. It's unfortunately a really sad number.
It is.
One in three women and one in five men will experience sexual violence by the time they turn 18.
Yeah, that's sad. So he listened to you, but he decided his political aim, because it was an election year that year, right? We had the election for our assembly here in 2020. He decided that the politics of it just, you know, didn't add up for him.
Right. Well, he specifically told us that he had just paid $7,500 for a poll or a survey. I don't remember specifically which word he used, that showed that even the majority of Republicans were supportive of masking. And so being that it was, I believe it was late July when we met with him in 2020, and he had an election coming up in November, he was like, I can't do anything about it till after I get reelected. But once I do, I promise you that I'm going to, you know, go hard at, you know, getting rid of the lockdowns, the, you know, the shutdowns, the mandates, you know, the mandatory masking, all of that that went along with what we were experiencing.
Yeah. I don't recall seeing the results of that poll anywhere. That seems like something that would be released to me. And I don't recall seeing anything like that anywhere.
I did not see it, and I did look for it.
Yeah. The majority of Republicans, I find that hard to believe. I mean, I know we're rehashing something from 3 years ago now, but this just brings up the point of politicians will say anything to get you off their back, honestly. Mm-hmm. You paid for a poll. Great. What are the results? Show me the results. Show me the raw data behind it.
Right.
Don't just, you know, spout something off that you think will get rid of me, which is what he tried to do.
I mean, that's certainly how I felt. Even more specific is that he said he paid for a poll or a survey that showed that the majority of Republicans were in support of masks. Well, maybe they were, but I believe that Republicans and conservatives are also at least as supportive of freedom to choose.
Yes.
And so it didn't say mandatory masking, and that's all that I was looking for,
right,
was a reiteration that masking should be optional and right, that we have the freedom to choose.
Which is, we're all adults, right? We're all smart. We can make the decision that's best for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have been a problem. And all he had to do was, you weren't even asking him at that time to fight the thing, right? You were just saying, put a statement out there. As the de facto leader of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, lead. It should be incumbent upon you to say something. And, you know, instead you got, basically, he tried to placate you and send you on your way.
He tried.
Yeah. He indeed tried. I think we mentioned it on the last time you were on, that you don't go away easily. And I just love how you bulldog these people.
That's not exactly the way that I look at it. I like truth and justice.
Absolutely.
I used to tell my kids that, you know, no matter what they did, I would always love them.
Yeah.
But the two things that would actually make me angry is if they lied to me or tried to manipulate me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same for people outside of my family.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it's the old adage, right? How do you know politicians lying as lips are moving, right? I think we all know politicians lie. We all expect them to lie to a certain degree. Some just do it a lot more than others, right? And I can understand it if there's something strategic behind it. I can't give you all the information. I can't tell you something. It's classified, whatever. I get that. But when it comes down to just me wanting something as a citizen that is as simple as putting out a statement, right? Because he placated you and he still didn't do anything. In my view, he didn't fight at all to get rid of the mask mandate. He actually lied to me when I called him about it, because I think you might remember this, Steve Noss, one of the state senators here, put forth a joint resolution, or said they should, in the assembly to get rid of the mask mandate. And I called up Voss's office and I had a conversation with him. He called me back. I said, look, let's get rid of this. What's the deal? And he goes, oh, I don't know what Noss is doing. We can't actually do a joint resolution to do that, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't remember. I think it was May of the next year. I don't remember if this was before or after the election. It was right around that time, I think.
Yeah.
And then May of the next year, when they finally got their act together, lo and behold, here came a joint resolution between the state Senate and state assembly to strike down the mask mandate. Mm-hmm. So, and I know Jessica McBride doesn't listen to this, but she asked on the show, why are people against Robin Voss? Well, because he lied to me. And he placates and plays political games constantly. That's just one example.
Right. One provable example.
Exactly.
And there are several, many others.
As I was watching the replay of that, and as I watched the comments come in, yeah, you get the people out there that are not substantive with their comments. They're just saying, oh, Voss, blah, get rid of him. I hate him. He's a rhino, blah, blah, blah. And they don't bring anything of substance to the conversation as to why. So that's a fair question on her part. But as I have examples of, well, he lied. He lied when he said that they couldn't do a joint resolution. And I was like, okay, I'll just do what I want to do. Like, I'm not going to wear the mask. I'm not going to, whatever. I'm not going to even argue with you on it.
Right.
I'm just going to do me.
Yep.
And that's fine, because you're just going to give me, you know, lip service. I get it. Fine. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's consequences to that. from the you know, politician standpoint, especially. I mean, and then from our standpoint, where we just don't believe them anymore, and then, you know, they get mad because people go online and say truthful things about them.
I think that's the key.
Because I know they brought that up about you specifically. Now we'll get in kind of to some of their hypocrisy again here, but they brought that up where, you know, basically in so many words called you a keyboard warrior. And I can tell everybody out there that's not the case. Not only are you online, you're out at rallies, you're out leading things. You've led conservative conversations where we get a group of conservatives together, brought in, like our senator, brought in other conservative office holders and speakers. Yep. Right. So you're not just a keyboard warrior, but that's what they insinuated on the show and is part of their attack is, oh, you're just a keyboard warrior and you don't deserve to be heard, basically. You're just nothing. And
right.
That's not the case. That's just so hypocritical. Not only that, is they got into the nasty attacks, basically calling you out and saying, oh, you're still on assistance, blah, 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 even though that was years ago. I mean, what are they doing?
I mean, the other thing that's interesting is how did they get that information? That's not public
right.
information.
And so, I don't think you had it in that article that was written.
No, it was not in the article. No. Nope.
So, right. How did they get that information?
So they doxed me?
Had to have. Because I don't remember it being public anywhere.
No, it was not public.
Until you mentioned it on Badger State Resistance. But I read the article that was done up on you. I don't remember it in that article at all.
No. And I mean, we were, in that period of time, we were so busy just trying to be proactive for me so mm-hmm. that I didn't get stuck there.
Right.
Like, that's not where I wanted to be. And raising our four little kids, that wasn't even something that we were talking about, you know, with family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was because we were overly embarrassed by it. I mean, again, right. It's not something that you're proud of.
It happened, right?
But
it just something that happened.
We were consumed by other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that was not public information.
Michelle Voss, I'm sure, has ways to get privileged information. So she called you out on that. And I want to get your take because I know you listened to my show two shows ago now.
Actually, I try and listen to most of your shows.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate you.
But I made the point in there that what they did, and this is after they had just got done saying, we have to lift women's voices in the Republican Party and we have to listen to the women and they have a different perspective. Again, all things I agree with and I love, and I'm someone that loves all the different perspectives.
I agree
right?
as well. Yep.
But at the end of the day, you're going to go and you're going to say and basically attack a sexual assault victim, survivor, on how they needed to be on some assistance for a little bit while they took care of themselves. Now, what kind of message does that send to women that they want a court for the conservative movement? And I'd love your take on this because I had mine, but obviously I'm not a woman, right? I mean, I guess I could float Democrat and say I am, but I don't want to go speaking for women, you know, en masse, right? So Adrienne's here. I'd love her take on this and what she thought about, you know, that after saying we need more women voices in the Republican Party, we need to be courting those voices.
I mean, I could either laugh or cry at that point about it. So I was laughing. It's pretty blatantly hypocritical to say that and then try and shut somebody down to say a woman's voice doesn't matter or that anybody's voice doesn't matter.
I mean, it gets to like the elitism, right? I mean, after they got done saying that and they get done saying we need more women voices. But we're going to go and attack a victim. We're going to go and say there's certain people we don't want speaking on the conservative movement anymore. And part of that was, I took it like, if these women don't subscribe to the conservative groupthink we want, yeah, they shouldn't have a voice.
I don't even say conservative groupthink. I don't like that term in reference.
I should
to
say,
them.
Yeah,
it's Republican, yeah. Right? And they don't even subscribe to the Republican platform,
right,
in its entirety. I think, you know, we have the right to disagree and to be able to have discourse, mm-hmm, and disagreements, but that doesn't mean that my voice counts any less than your voice does,
right,
or than somebody else's voice. And when you're in a position of, particularly with Michelle Voss, when you're in a position of representing your husband, who is a representative in Wisconsin, and not just a district representative, as he's my representative and yours as well.
Yep.
He's also the Speaker of the Assembly, mm-hmm, which means that he represents and oversees the entire Republican caucus.
Yep.
So all of those representatives are watching him for his leadership, or lack thereof.
And it's been a lack thereof, because, mm-hmm, what was it, about a month before this, he went on the same podcast, right, same WRN, and got unhinged and didn't call you out by name, I think, but insinuated that you were...
He did call me out by name.
Oh, did he call you out, yep, by name? Yeah. What did he say about you?
He said I was certifiably insane.
So we had a representative, our representative, which would have been bad enough, mm-hmm, if it was our representative, right?
Yep.
But we're talking about the Speaker of the Assembly. The Political did a whole 4,000-word article on this guy about how he's the shadow governor of Wisconsin. The de facto leader of the Republican Party is calling constituents certifiably insane. On a podcast, on something that's on the internet.
Yeah.
And I tie this back to WRN. You don't think the left is going to take that and use it? After they said, oh, the left, you know, McBride said, the left takes and uses everything that we give them and we got to stop arguing. Well, stop going on podcasts and calling constituents certifiably insane and stop ripping patriots because you don't agree with them, because they've been tough on you and justifiably so. We have to call this out as conservatives. We can't put up with this. The left doesn't even do this. They keep it in-house, mm-hmm, for the most part. I mean, you've got your AOCs, you've got your, you know, big mouths out there that do that. But what happens? They get... You know, everybody thinks they're lunatics. Even in the Democrat Party think they're lunatics.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be better. What do we get told? That we're the party of principle. We're the big tent. Everybody's welcome. But it's not the case, is it?
No, it's not the case.
I mean, they've really, with this, they've tried to shut you up.
Yeah.
In essence, it's just been... I don't understand. I guess I do, because nobody likes change. And what's going on in the Republican Party right now is change. Now, there's a movement. They kept calling this a fringe movement on the show.
Yep.
But it's anything but a fringe movement. I covered it at length in the last show, but it's a lot larger of a movement than they want to give credit for. What McBride did in there was the old leftist propaganda trick. Right, to try and dismiss how large it actually is. I mm-hmm, looked up the numbers today. I think I texted them to you. So at that show, when they recorded that podcast, there's another podcast, a Patriot podcast in our state called Badger State Resistance. Great podcast. Yep, I try and catch them when I can. McBride tried to make a point that, you know, they're a fringe, blah, blah, blah. So I go and look at their Facebook page. And at that time, Badger State Resistance had like 13,000 Facebook followers and WRN was 8,000 something. I go and look today, Badger State Resistance is at 16,000 followers on Facebook.
Nice.
WRN is still where they were, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or whenever I looked at this. So does that sound like a fringe movement?
Doesn't sound fringe to me.
And they made the point, and I laugh because they made the point. I think it was Jim. I'll just call him Jim because I'll butcher his last name. Jim P. made the point that they shouldn't really be mentioning all this by name because people are going to go check it out and they're going to make their own decision, which is how I take them not wanting people to do.
Right.
Right. With what they said on that podcast. But he was absolutely right because now their Facebook page grew by 3,000 people.
Oh.
Michelle Voss said, we have to get the majority. You're not going to get the majority the way the Republican Party is going today.
No.
You're just not.
No.
If you think this is a fringe movement, these patriot groups, people like Adrienne who are out there conservative first, Republican last. Yep. If you think that you can just ignore that and win a general election, it might be fine in your district. It might even be fine. Like it might be fine in a state like Oklahoma, right? But it's not fine in states like Wisconsin, which are really, really close. And we have a fair number of independents. We're about equally split along all lines here, Democrat, Republican, and you know, independent.
Yep.
And we have a lot of, I think, moderates in the Republican and Democrat Party that have no problem crossing over. I went over that in our recently completed spring election with the Supreme Court race. So you can't get a majority by trying to silence what you think is a fringe. And if you look at the numbers, it's anything but a fringe.
Right. I mean, if we can look back, I guess, if that's a good way to say it. If you want to talk about fringe and trying to call this group of people fringe, at the RPW, which is the Republican Party of Wisconsin convention last year, which my husband and I attended, they put up a resolution. Well, they put up four resolutions from the floor at the end of the night on Saturday. And so if you think of establishment Republicans, toe-the-line Republicans, the elitist Republicans, that's kind of who you expect to be at convention.
Right.
Just, you know, that's a very generalized statement. But one of the resolutions was a resolution of no confidence in Robin Voss or a call for him to resign. So in this convention hall of very straight-line Republicans, for the most part, 36% of those people voted for that resolution. And they waited to put that up until the end of the night when many of the people had already left.
Of course.
As well. So, I mean, there's just no way to know what the numbers would have been.
Right.
36% of the people at convention wanted him to either resign or were voting no confidence in him. That's fringe.
That sounds like it could jeopardize a majority.
Yeah.
That's 36% of people.
Yep.
And honestly, he got lucky, I think, being run unopposed by a Democrat in the last election because he only won the primary, the Republican primary, by a couple hundred votes, 260 votes, I think.
Yep.
So that tells me that if we would have had, call it a relatively sane Democrat running against him, that he probably would have been in trouble.
How about if he would have run an honest campaign? He would have been in trouble.
That's the other thing, right? Stick to the issues. Don't have your proxies, right? Because every piece of literature that came from him wasn't disparaging towards his opponent, Adam Steen, in any way. He had all his proxies do it, whatever John Guard's organization was.
A lot of them came from Wisconsinites for Liberty Fund.
You had the state party sending literature as in-kind donations on his behalf. And let's talk about this for a minute, because we've talked about this before on the show about golden calf politicians and how people think that, well, they've just been there a long time, I'll keep voting for them, or they've done such great things. I mean, McBride went unhinged on that show about how we would have been in trouble in the assembly had Voss lost.
Right.
And so that tells me we've got a golden calf problem here within the media, within certain voting blocks, right? So why is the state party getting involved on behalf of one candidate or the other in a primary? I thought it was, let's let the primary play out and, you know, we'll back from a state level whoever comes out of that.
I mean, that's what they've said. So that doesn't seem to be what the campaign finance reports and evidence shows.
It's not what the mail that was sent to my house show, because it said in-kind donation from, you know, RPW.
Yep.
Republican Party of Wisconsin.
Yep. Or how about the multiple 3 or 4 mailers that went out with Robin Voss buddying up to Donald Trump?
Trump didn't even endorse.
No, he endorsed Voss's opponent.
Well, I mean, just from the literature standpoint.
Oh, Trump said
I
absolutely.
Didn't, I had nothing.
No,
to do
I had
with
nothing
this.
To do. Right. Yeah, I had nothing to do with this.
Right.
I mean, I would say we can be pretty confident that those mailers influenced more than 260 people.
I'm sure.
And yet now we hear Robin Voss on, I think, the very same podcast that you're talking about, where he called me certifiably insane.
Yep.
Going on about how Trump is an embarrassment to the Republican establishment, and that he's going to do everything in his power to make sure that Trump doesn't get the Republican nomination. Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't even commit to backing Trump if he won the nomination. And yet we have 21 Republicans, conservative Republicans, whose memberships were rejected to the Racine County GOP.
Yep.
Because we didn't support Robin Voss.
Right.
I don't know. There's something.
I'll guarantee it's happening in your state out there too. I mean, and y'all that are out there know who it is and what they're looking at. There's the same thing. I've got, you know, a few listeners that are deep into their local political scene battling this sort of thing. They've been more successful there than we have been here in throwing out. You know, I don't even want to call them rhinos, because I did a show and said I'm a rhino, right? I'm a conservative first, yep. Republican last. Don't know that I'll ever sign up for the party again. There's a reason the founders hated political parties and didn't want them. We're seeing that now, but he's now openly saying, I'm going to do everything I can to prevent one particular candidate from winning the nomination.
Right.
Right. I don't care. Support your candidate, whoever. Right. I've discussed on here, those of you that listen to Rucksack Radio with me and Tom on Tuesdays, we've discussed it there about how, you know, our thoughts on Trump. We're not going to rehash that here. We had a little back and forth on Twitter, and I respect what Trump has done. He did a lot of good things. He's got to change his message. He's got to, we need that broad appeal, just like we were talking about. Win the majority, right? What does it take to do that? But to have the de facto leader of the Republican Party in our state say, I am going to actively campaign against one particular candidate to make sure he doesn't win here. Let the process play out.
Right.
It's not, to me, it's not your place to get involved in, you know, in the politics. If you want to go knock doors for Donald Trump's opponents, go for it. I don't care. Right. But to openly say that I'm not going to support him, and to insinuate that I'm not going, even if he's the Republican nominee, I'm not going to support him, is ludicrous. And, you know, he's going to be the first one, and he is the first one that bitches every time we've got Democrats running things.
Yeah.
He's the first. We got to get the Democrats out. We got to do this, that, and the other thing. He's the first one that whines about it. And you all have politicians out there that are like that too, where you know who they are. They're the first one to whine and complain because they actively win against something and then it actually worked and it didn't produce the outcome they wanted because it was actually a worse, let's say, candidate that came through the primary then and got smoked in the election. And here's the kicker, and so I'll be interested in your thought on this. We have had now, we're going on, what is it, 5-6 years of Tony Evers now after we had Scott Walker. Mm-hmm. We've struggled in this state since Scott Walker was elected, or not re-elected, or I should say, since Tony Evers was elected and Scott Walker was no longer governor, we've struggled in this state to win statewide elections. And it's, if Robin Voss was such a great political mind, like we're told he is, you go into their county caucus and that's what they say, we got the greatest political mind here and blah, then why aren't we winning statewide elections? Why are we losing statewide elections? Ron Johnson won, thankfully.
Right.
But when it comes to the governor's mansion, I mean, yeah, Republicans took like the treasurer's office or some crap in Alaska, you know, offices that don't matter statewide, honestly. The ones that matter, governor, why aren't we winning governor elections? Why don't we have two Republican senators in this state? If we have such a great political mind, someone that WRN says we should give our unquestioned loyalty to and bow down to because they're the conservative voice now, even though the fringe has more followers on their Facebook page than they do. Why aren't we winning elections? We just lost a judicial race, another statewide election, and we lost the judicial race before that one.
That was heartbreaking.
Statewide election.
Yeah, that was really rough.
Let's be honest here. And this will be for my Wisconsin listeners. If we're being honest here, Robin Voss isn't the great political mind we think he is, or we're being told he is. I know most of my listeners don't think he is. My Wisconsin listeners, anyway. And I'm sorry for everybody else that's, you know, hopefully you can take this back and apply it to your state. And we're getting a little Wisconsin-ish here, but I think you'll be able to draw the parallels to what's going on here to your own state and look for some of this stuff. But let's think of who was the brainchild of all that when we were winning statewide elections. Scott Walker and Reince Priebus. What happened? What has changed in the last 5 years? Well, those two are gone. They're no longer involved at the top levels of the Republican Party in this state. And what's happened? We've got Robin Voss there. And, you know, I'm not going to disparage the folks that are running RPW and some of the county parties because they're volunteers. They do the best they can. You know, they've got actual day jobs like the rest of us. So it's not, you know, necessarily on them per se. Unless, you know, maybe more if there's full-time employees at these organizations, you know, could be on them. Certainly on Robin Voss, because that's all he does is politics.
Yep. That's all he's ever done.
But you can't continue to say, when we continue to lose statewide elections, you can't say someone's the greatest political mind. We have to look at what the causality is here, why we're losing. One has been messaging. It's been terrible. We're told that our Republican ideas are winners. Oh, we have to get out there and message. Okay, where are the political wins then?
Right.
And two, we've had two of what was the triumvirate at the top of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. Two of them are gone. So we know who the brainchild behind the wins were, in my opinion.
I was not a good political watcher. Sorry. I failed. I failed in that area when my kids were younger. It was really 2019 and 2020 that woke me up.
Same for me.
Like, wide awake.
Involved in life. I get it, right? You got absolutely. Kids. You're doing kid things.
Yeah. So two things is, first of all, for listeners who are not in Wisconsin, something they can take away is to look and see if their legislators are part of NCSL. Because Robin Voss is the president of NCSL, which is the National Coalition or National Commission for State Legislators, something like that. Don't quote me on what that stands for. But so he does affect bills across the nation that are coming to our legislative bodies. And so they can be watching for that
Watch the ties of your legislators.
Yeah, for sure. And I believe it was 2015, but again, don't quote me on that year, but campaign finance laws were opened wide. That was a Walker Voss, I forget who was the majority leader in the Senate or the speaker in the Senate at that time. But I think the Democrats were just really quick to come in and learn how to play by the new rules.
Yep.
I mean, you've got, you know, Zuckerberg and Soros now funding elections. It really was the Republicans who opened the door to that.
It is. And I brought that up in another conversation I had with them about how we need to get the out-of-state money out of here.
Yes.
That we need to close our borders, that if you are running for an office within the state of Wisconsin, I even went as far as in your district, you should be funded by that district. If it's a statewide office, you can be funded by people statewide.
Yep.
But there should not be any outside money coming in. At all.
I totally agree.
And you know what he did? He quickly changed the subject. He got all nervous and gave me some bullcrap reason why we needed it and changed the subject. Which tells me either, one, I know it impacts his money coming into his campaigns.
Oh, hugely. Hugely.
Two, he was behind that and probably realized that he screwed it up. So We've got all kinds of issues at state levels that we need to take care of in that respect. I mean, there shouldn't be outside money. If you want to have an influence in a state, then set up your headquarters in that state, because then you'd have in state, then you'd be in state.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Otherwise, we don't need. Because I know we had, because I did that research for you and put that all together on Voss's stuff. I mean, he had the BNSF, the, you know, railroad donating money. He had, gosh, I can't even remember. I just remember that one off the top of my head. But other out-of-state, Meijer,
grocery store.
You know, the better Walmart, I like to call them, the nicer Walmart, yeah. Meijer. I think they're just up here in the Great Lakes region. I know they were big in Ohio and Michigan. They've spread this way, but they gave him money, right? So, and I know he takes trips out of state to fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope he's paying for that on the Wisconsin Republican Party's dime. Not mine, not as a taxpayer, he shouldn't be.
It's coming out of his campaign finance, his personal campaign finance money.
Well, and it should. But as we look at this, we have to watch this. And it was a great point you brought up about the National State Legislator Board, because check your ties of your legislators.
Yeah.
Because if they're getting advice on how to win statewide elections from Robin Voss, your state's going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'll, I think couple topics here. So I want to hit just this elitism quick, because we're on, you know, Robin Voss, and he thinks he's the monarch of Wisconsin. I go back to a fundraiser he had, it was a couple summers ago, him and Ron Johnson. It was Ron Johnson's reelection campaign. And they were actually having a fundraiser down the street from my house. I live across the street from a lake, and they were having a fundraiser at a big Republican supporter, local one, that has a house on the lake. I'm not that rich. These people are buying these houses across the street from me for $700,000 and tearing them down.
No. Oh, yes.
You know, you live in that neighborhood too, Adrian, so you know what I'm talking about. You drive by them.
But I spend most of my time in the basement on assistance.
right.
Sorry.
Just like Michelle said.
Right.
But so we're out there protesting. This was during the whole, let's have an election integrity. Let's take a look at the election. And so we're out there saying, hey, you know, we had signs and a few folks out there saying, hey, you know, let's have an audit.
Yep.
Let's do the audit, full forensic audit, whatever the term was at the time. And Robin Voss pulls up, many people pulled up, and, you know, some ignored us, some were, you know, came over, shook her hands. Robin Voss comes with Michelle, walks up the driveway and shouts back twice at us. You want to hear Jessica McBride? Here's another reason why I will not vote for Robin Voss anymore. Walks up the driveway twice, doesn't come over and engage anybody, and shouts back twice, already M. When we said, hey, we want an audit, come talk to us. And he just says, already M. He walks up the driveway of the house. Now he's doing a joint fundraiser with Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson pulls up. He says, shouts out the window of his car. He's like, let me park. I'll come back and talk to you. Ron Johnson talked to us for 10 minutes. We didn't necessarily agree with what Ron Johnson had to say at the time about how they were looking into it, but he came and talked to us and understood where Ron Johnson was coming from and where his head was at. Communicated.
Yep.
Now, they were starting to get the party going, whatever, the fundraiser going, and Michelle Voss comes out to get Ron Johnson. Mm-hmm. Not Robin. Michelle comes out and gets him. But at least Ron Johnson talked to us. Now, fast forward a little bit further, at least a year, you had an event, and Ron Johnson was speaking. We had him by Zoom or whatever.
Yep.
And I got up, and I had a question for him. But first, I said, hey, I just appreciate you. You know, I remember, you know, you came and talked to us, you know, for 10 minutes or whatever on the election integrity stuff. And he goes, oh, yeah, at the lake. He remembered, like, a year plus later, Ron Johnson remembered that we had a group, and he remembered I was out there and talked to him about this.
He really is a great man.
Awesome senator. Yeah. Great senator. I'm glad he ran a third time. I'm glad he lied and said he was only running twice.
me too.
But that's the difference, right? And this is just the perfect compare and contrast here. Where you have one that's an elitist, obviously wants the old Republican ways, wants to be the one in control or in power, controlling, pulling all the levers. And you have someone that's actually serving the people that actually remember. I didn't expect him to remember that he did that fundraiser and I was across the street from the house they were having the fundraiser at. But he remembered. Ron Johnson remembered.
Yep. I mean, I've had the privilege of being able to speak in front of him at a few events. And when we saw him at convention, mm-hmm. he remembered us.
Yeah.
I mean, myself and my husband.
Right.
So he knew who we, yeah.
And think about all the people that as a U.S. Senator, Ron Johnson has talked to in the time from when you last saw him to when you saw him again. And all the meetings, the committees, the hearings, everything.
Yeah.
On top of it, coming back and doing, you know, the listening session statewide and all the other stuff that he does as senator.
Yep.
And he still remembers that one moment because he's for the people. He's a man of the people. He understands that who he serves is his constituents. And those are the politicians we have to be getting behind. Not these elitists that are just walking up the driveway, can't be bothered to come talk to a constituent for 5 minutes and let us know what you're thinking, what's going on, why you're making the decisions you're making. Just walk up the driveway with my wife. I'm going to this. I can't be bothered. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you have another one that pulls up in his car, says, okay, let me park the car. I'll be here and spends 10 minutes talking to you.
Yep. It makes a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So just this, and it's this elitism that's going to be the downfall of the Republican Party, right? This elitism is why we have a so-called fringe. That's air quotes, yep. Because this is going to be audio only. I didn't mention that at the start. Sorry. Everybody's going to be in, they're going to hear this now, but you know, air quotes fringe, right? But it's not a fringe. It's, I think that poll's probably fairly accurate. It's at least 30%. Not to mention, and I made this point before, not to mention the Trump voters that only turn out for Trump that are part of the so-called fringe.
Right.
That if you turn them off and don't reach them with a message, they're not going to vote, period.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about we need a majority. Well, that's going to include the Trump voters, too. The only Trump voters that he pulled out to vote for him. You're going to need them, too. Whether you like Trump or not, you have to reach those people.
Yep.
And you can't just disparage Trump because I guarantee you if Trump loses, they'll take their ball and go home and they won't vote. Not, you know, and that's not a majority of, you know, of them by any means, but it'll be enough to affect an election with as close as presidential elections are. So these are the things that the Republican Party doesn't think about. They want to do the old ways. We're the Republican. We're the old guard. You know, we're going to talk about freedom and liberty, but, you know, with backroom deals with Democrats, you know, in the interest of getting reelected, we'll erode your rights if we have to.
Yep.
And that is what the WRNs of the world don't understand. It's not, and this isn't what the Robin Vosses of the world, they don't understand. They just look at their little polls. They talk in their own little circles, their own little elephant circles that of groupthinkers, and they don't get out and talk to moderate Republicans. They don't bother talking to Trump Republicans. They don't go and talk to moderate Democrats. They don't go and talk to the independents they need to win.
Yep.
And this elitism is going to cause the downfall of the Republican Party. The way it's going, if they don't figure out how to message to all the factions and bring them together, the Republican Party will be dead in 5 years.
Yeah.
It just will. Because it's not, what they're doing isn't sustainable. Now, that's not to say the Democrats don't have their own problems. They have their own problems as well. And you go and search for them, you'll find them on the internet. Because mainstream media is not going to give that information to you.
Right.
They have the same calls for splitting off of a third party and everything else on that side of the aisle too. So that tells me we've got an opportunity. We have an opportunity to reach out, stop the elitism, stop the, what they call it in a show, the normal Republicans. We have our normal Republicans. Okay, so you just turned off a bunch of other people now because I'm not a normal Republican.
No,
you're not a normal
neither
Republican.
Am I.
I know many others that aren't normal Republicans. They're independents. They're just, you know, patriot Republicans. They vote with the Republican Party because they're supposedly the party of the Constitution.
Right.
They do conservative things sometimes. But you have these outlets and these politicians saying, oh, you know, we don't want you anymore. Okay. Don't, you know, when 2024 comes around and it's Joe Biden or Gavin Newsom, because RFK Jr. is getting censored. The Democrats don't want RFK Jr.
Right.
And, you know, as an independent, I would seriously look at him right on that side.
He has a lot going for him.
He does.
Yeah.
He's saying all the right things and he stands for all the right things. He's got a demonstrated track record of doing it.
Exactly.
But so we know it won't be him. So what if it's Joe Biden again? You know what's going to happen is you'll have the same people. You'll have Robin Voss out there. You'll have whoever, Mitch McConnell. Well, Mitch McConnell's just happy being a minority leader. He doesn't care. But you'll have these same people that are saying, we got to do this. We've got to circle the wagons. We can't attack each other. We got to blah, 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 WRN. They'll be sitting there wondering why we lost another election in 2024. Guaranteed. It's all because of this elitism. It's all because they don't understand who they work for and who they need to rope in. It's the messaging. And I hate to say it. I always hate to say it. Democrats are better at messaging, period. They stay on it. They, now granted, they have media help. They can squash their lunatics, right? But at the end of the day, I think people are smart enough to recognize a lunatic when they see it. So that just means you have to have a messaging that's on point. And you can't have this elitist attitude like the Republican Party seems to have.
Right.
Oh, what are your thoughts on that? You've been battling head to head with some of these folks.
Oh man, I have so much I could say.
Go for it. I've got plenty of memory on the card here, so.
I mean, I was raised conservative, mm-hmm. Republican. I remember my dad taking, you know, my brother and I to see George Bush. I think he was doing the whistle stop tour. He came through Burlington, you know, so we went down and got to see him. And, you know, that just feels like something, you know, momentous. And so, I mean, I've always been a Republican or a conservative, I guess. I mean, I thought I was always a Republican. Mm-hmm. I'm being told now that I'm not actually a Republican.
Yeah, you're not. You're not a normal Republican.
No.
You're one of those fringe.
Fringe people.
You're just fringe. Yeah.
Right, right.
You're fringe.
Right.
A large minority fringe, but a fringe nonetheless.
Right. Where is the definition of the qualifications in order to be a Republican? When I joined the Republican Party, which was, I mean... that was a launching pad in 2020, when I joined the party because of the issues that we were having mm-hmm. in our school district.
Yep.
There was a lot going on here, and I felt like I didn't want to just be one of those keyboard warriors, right? Like I wanted to get involved mm-hmm. and, you know, to be able to, you know, help and do what I could. And so when we became members, it was like, you know, sign up with your name and your email and pay us and you're a member. But there was no qualifications for being a member of the Republican Party.
Right. Pay your money. That's the only qualification.
Right. Right. But then on the flip side of that, you're told, well, you're not Republican enough for our tent that's open to everyone.
Right.
So our tent isn't open to you anymore. Where are the qualifications for being a Republican? I think that might be something that they need to look at first, you know, to let people know we have these expectations for you.
Right.
And, I mean, the Racine County Republican Party, I think each county party has their own constitution.
Yep.
It took me well over a year to even be allowed to see a copy of the constitution. So I'm supposed to pledge my allegiance to the Republican County Party,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not even allowed to see a constitution of what, like, I'm supposed to be supporting.
Right.
And then that very constitution is used to keep people out of the Republican Party. I mean, they changed it at...
Seems that way.
...caucus in 2022.
Yeah.
So.
It's becoming more and more, it seems, of... an exclusive club. It's becoming everything that it's been portrayed to be, right? An elitist club. They do themselves no favors by doing stuff like this.
Right. They want new membership, but they don't really want new active people.
Right. Come and subscribe to the groupthink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all this stuff just leads me to believe that they're going to be irrelevant in 5 years. They keep getting overrun by and outflanked by the Democrats. They don't put up a hard enough fight. Because if we learn anything from Ron DeSantis, right, we learn anything from Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
when he ran for president and got the most votes, you know, ever for a presidential election, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Biden got 81 million, fine. I mean, but you've got Trump who outpaced every other presidential election in our history as well, right? That should tell you something. That should tell you that as a party, you need to adjust the message, because the message of not worrying, and really I look at it like they weren't worried. They weren't playing the typical politics and pandering to get reelected. Here's our message. This is what we need to do. Let's move forward with it.
Right.
And that's what they don't like, it seems, because they just want you to subscribe to the groupthink, and as the Racine County Republican Party, we're just going to do whatever Robin Voss tells us to do. And he's got his proxy on the board now in Michelle Voss as the treasurer.
Yep. Yep.
And there's many other county parties like that throughout this nation. So how can you can't say that it's a big tent if they're not going to let like you in because you said some mean things to them and hurt some feelings with some truth. right? We're not going to let you in anymore. What does that say?
Right.
I think it's a lesson to every politician out there on the conservative side. We want people that are going to stand up for us. Don't give us lip service and then go make back deals with the Democrats. I understand, and I've said it here before, there's times for consensus, there's times to dig heels in, right? If you're going out and you're having a message of we're going to close the border, we're going to reduce taxes, we're going to stand up against the left, you better do it. And that's right. Just and it's a winning message. They talk about we've got our principles are a winning message. That's a winning message. Get out there and do what you're saying you're going to do.
Right.
And don't just pander. Campaign on that. And have that message.
On truth.
Campaign yeah. On truth. Yeah. Exactly. On truth. Well, we can't have that in politics. Doesn't matter what side. We're not going to tell the truth. We just want to get reelected. Oh. And that's where I think term limits, if we had term limits, that'd be a game changer because nobody's worried about getting reelected then.
No. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Term limits to me are essential.
Up and down. Down to dog catcher. Nobody should be in an elected government position for an entire career.
Yeah.
Our government wasn't set up to be a career,
no.
Whether it be the federal, state, or local level.
Right.
Cycle these people out. And obviously, as voters, we're not good at that. We need term limits to help us along to do that. Right? If I was going to say anything, that's the one thing the founding fathers missed in the Constitution was putting term limits in, at least at the federal level. I mean, because they were relying on the... You know, Washington's gentleman's agreement that he was only going to serve two terms, he did and was out.
Yep.
And, you know, I think, I don't remember what president, it might have been FDR was the first president to break that, actually. And then after that, they said, oh, we need presidential term limits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where are the term limits for the House and the Senate, too?
But you know who has to pass those term limits?
The House and the Senate. Or we get a convention of the states together, which is what's being worked on.
Yeah.
And have the resolutions to say this is what we're going to put in there. It just benefits everybody. We don't get stuck with, 50 years of Joe Biden in government and, whatever Dianne Feinstein's been in government for 30 plus years and Pelosi and even on our side, Chuck Grassley and Mitch McConnell. I mean, you guys are sitting in government and they rule like it's the same time period as it was when they first got in government.
Right.
So, I don't know. But, but coming back to this, we have to be cognizant of these politicians that think they're monarchs. And they need to stand up. They need to be held to account, and which is what you do. Right? From what I see, you hold them to account. They don't like it.
No, they apparently don't.
Yeah, so I think we'll end with this. I know you had a big announcement. You came in here. You had a big announcement. So I think we'll end the show with your big announcement.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Right?
Breaking news.
Yes.
And a big announcement. It's breaking news.
Yeah. So I do. I think it's important to hold our elected officials accountable. I think it's important to not just be a keyboard warrior and to be involved. And so I filed an ethics complaint on May 11th against Robin Voss. And I got an email late this morning saying that complaint has been officially accepted. And that it has sufficient information for them to launch an investigation or for the commissioners of the Ethics Commission to look into that complaint. So I'm pretty excited that they're going to look at it. I think the biggest thing is just, that Robin Voss has been in office for too long. I mean, he was elected to the Racine County Board in 1994. He was elected as the 63rd District Representative in 2004. He had worked for the two 63rd District Representatives prior to him in Madison. There's a lot of things you can get tangled up in mm-hmm. when you're in politics that long. Right. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
Right. And that's just a practical application, right? That's, again, not being a keyboard warrior. That's actually getting out and doing something, right? You saw something wrong. You saw something that's potentially unethical. I don't want to call it unethical at this point, but there was enough there to, at least in your complaint of what you brought forth, to warrant an investigation, which is what we all, you know, is all we can ask for. And right, everybody yep. gets their day, gets their investigation to see, you know, if something's there or not. Great. But that's things that we can practically do yep. to hold our politicians, our representatives accountable.
Right.
To make sure they're doing what they should be doing and doing it ethically.
And representing the people and not the special interests.
Exactly. So exactly.
That goes back to campaign finance and term limits and
right.
all that fun stuff.
Right. They need to remember who they work for. It's not their special interests. It's not their campaign donors. It's not the big campaign donors. It's we the people. And I'm glad you filed that, and I'm glad that you got a favorable response on at least an investigation taking place.
Yeah. Thanks.
Good. So that is what we have for today. A little bit longer show than we normally do, but, you know, I think it was fun. I hope you had
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun.
And hopefully informative for everybody. I hope everybody can take this and, you know, information here and apply it to your own state, your own local municipality, even your statewide up to your federal officials, right? Just things to keep in mind, things to watch for, connections to watch for. Make sure that your representatives are keeping things above board and make sure they're representing you. Because we know they don't always do that. And as I mentioned, two shows ago, you know, I'm sure there's other conservative outlets out there ripping conservatives because they don't agree with them. And like I said, we have to be better at that. We have to message better. I'm in agreement with that. We should keep it behind closed doors. You know, at the end of the day, have our disagreements, have it behind closed doors. Don't put it out there on the internet in a podcast where it can be used by the left. Right? Be leaders. Sorely lacking in leadership.
Yes.
Let's bring everybody into the conservative movement into the tent here. Figure out how we move forward together, because that is the only way we're going to win general elections. It just is. We need everybody. So yep. Thank you for joining me today. So before I go, don't forget to tune in live to Rucksack Radio on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central for Laughs and Liberty with Tom and me. You can watch us live on Riverside FM, Rumble, YouTube, or Twitch. We love engaging with you all in the chats. We have a good time. We bring in your questions, comments, everything. The ones that are appropriate anyway. If you all saw what happens behind the scenes in the chat sometimes, we get a good laugh out of it, but we don't always bring that up. But join us Tuesday. Join us in the chats. Throw some comments in there, questions. Tom and I love answering those on the show. Friends, that's my show for today. Thank you for tuning in. And a big thank you to Adrienne for joining me today and sharing her story and talking about, just our wide-ranging conversation on politics in general and the state of things. Please check out my website, livingwithlibertypodcast.com. There you'll find links to my past shows, my original articles, as well as other resources to help arm you with knowledge in fighting off the prevailing narratives of the day. While on my website, shop my store, Living with Liberty Outfitters. Lastly, I'd be so grateful if you shared, subscribed, and left a positive review of the show, should your listening platform allow. Subscribing helps us move up the charts and helps more people find the truth.